You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
Welcome to the Roto Experts. Mike Blewett and George Kurtz here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, taking you around the world of the NFL and the fantasy football world. A lot of big news last night, George, obviously, with some injuries in the preseason slate. It's not something that we want to see, but it's something we're going to have to deal with because we are in the heart of fantasy football draft season, and we saw two players with significant value go down last night, the first one being Julian Edelman.
Yeah, it's rough. I mean, it's just rough. There's really no other way to go around it. This is why we advise you to draft as late as possible to avoid these situations where, hey, you drafted Edelman in round five, round six. You now have a zero. We assume, I should stress it, we assume that Edelman is gone for the season. The initial reports are that it's an ACL injury. They will confirm that today with an MRI, but we haven't heard that yet. I expect to hear it later this morning, maybe this afternoon. But New England themselves have stated they think it's an ACL, which would end his season. It's rough. I mean, there's no doubt it's rough. That's 90 catches. You may have just lost the Super Bowl team that we expect, a team that was going to score a lot of points this year, but still is. The other players will have some players will pick up for him. I'm not worried about Tom Brady, not dropping him in my rankings because of this.
Right. So, you know, Julian Edelman was really, it's difficult to find where his rankings were, but he was, because people have eliminated him from rankings at this point, but he was going really in the wide receiver two conversation. People were a little bit softer on him this year because of the Brandon Cooks addition, but still a guy that garnered a ton of value. Even if it's not touchdown dependent, he garnered a ton of value in PPR leagues, George.
Of course, because he was going to catch all those short little passes to extend drives. He was a slot receiver. I'm not sure Cooks would have impacted him all that much. They just do different things. You know, like I say, we all know what Edelman does. You know, he starts in the slot, runs that 2 to 5 yards out or in. You know, a lot of times that's what he does. Every now and then he'll break it down the seams. But that's what Edelman does. That's what his job is. Now New England need to find a new guy to do that, to extend drives on third and three where they decide to pass the ball. You know, so it'll be interesting there. Cooks, yes, would have hurt. Of course he would have hurt because Cooks is a top wide receiver. But I think he's more of a deep play into the secondary guy. That might change somewhat now. Maybe Cooks will have a different role here. I'm curious to see how Belichick attacks this.
Yeah, I mean, last year Julian Edelman had 98 catches, 1,106 yards, 3 touchdowns on 158 targets. I figure Brandon Cooks takes up some of that. I think Chris Hogan sees the biggest bump in value of all these Patriots options. But I do really like Jane White at running back, who had 60 catches last year, to see an increase. I think they can catch the similar style of passes that Brady is comfortable with. You could line them up where Edelman was lined up. I think you'll see multiple players pick up those targets. But Chris Hogan, the biggest beneficiary, Amendola, somewhat of a beneficiary, and James White really ramping up his value in those PPR leagues. So that's it for the Pats. Unfortunately, they suffered for a really significant injury. But you know what, Church? I think they're going to be just fine.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. Their next important game still isn't until January.
Sure. Maybe even February. So they might cruise through the AFC. It's Mike and George on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll be back after this. Radio Network, Mike and George taking you around the world, the NFL. We spent a lot of time this morning, obviously, talking about the Chiefs and the Patriots because they both suffered significant injuries last night. George, I don't want to get lost in what happened on the field last night because there were some other stories out of it, one of which was pretty interesting to me. And that is Ameer Abdullah, who last night out-carried Theo Riddick 13-1 in the first half. He had 60 yards on those 13 carries with a long of 12 yards. He caught all three of his targets for 39 yards, including a long of 18. And according to NFL.com, they thought he was a little bit of a difference maker last year before he got hurt. I wouldn't quite go that far, but Ameer Abdullah was a player I liked a lot coming out of Nebraska. I thought he was really polished. I thought they were going to get a polished running back going in there. And then we saw the running back by committee just swallow up his fantasy value. And then 2 months ago, Taylor Decker, their star lineman, goes down for a significant portion of the season, if not the entire season. So how do you feel about Ameer Abdullah?
Don't want to get involved here either. I really don't want to stay away from Detroit if at all possible. I think this is another sort of a mess. We've been down this road before with both these guys, really. That who this guy's going to be the guy this year. This is going to be the guy. This will be the breakout year. Can they block well enough for either one of these guys to matter anyway in that offensive line? It's better, but it's certainly not anywhere near above average. If I had to draft one, Mike, I'm taking Abdullah. I'll take Abdullah ahead of Riddick, but I don't hold much faith for either guy being anything more than a running back three.
Running back three. Okay, so fantasy-wise, Ameer Abdullah has been coming in at as the 24th running back in PPR leagues. I'm going to try and find out where a friend of ours who drafted last night, where he went in the mix there. But just at the very end of the RB2 conversation, I think that's about appropriate, but I don't have Abdullah in any leagues as of yet. So, you know, I don't know. It's really difficult to say that I don't like him, because I would take him at some value. It just hasn't really worked out in any of the drafts I'm in so far. I can tell you in the draft I'm looking at from last night, I don't see Ameer Abdullah drafted here by the middle of the sixth round. So if you're getting him in the seventh round, you're going to take a look at him?
I have him at 26. I mean, so I'm right there with the rankings. You said 24. I'm a little further down on him. He's the kind of player, Mike, where, okay, he's available. My pick comes up, and I always seem to go in another direction. Maybe it's not a running back. Maybe I'm going to go wide receiver, go tight end, whatever it might be. And I'll find it a running back later. So I assume by the time I go in the next round, he'll be gone. And maybe I'd rather have that, you know, Mike Gillisley, even LeGarrette Blount, or take a shot on Samaje Perine. Guys who are lower in my rankings, but I like the value there at in the seventh, eighth round more than I like the idea of taking Abdullah in round six. I just don't have much faith that a running game is going to work there in Detroit. Really, when was the last time you had a worthwhile runner in Detroit? Are we going back to Barry Sanders?
Oh, man. That's a difficult one. Here's what I'll say. I'll add some perspective to this as well, because Dave Burkett is a guy who's a Lions beat writer. And I did a show with him. I did a show with Corey Parson, who's at the Fantasy Exec on Twitter. Fantasy Football Frenzy show, which you can also find on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We did this like probably 3 months ago. It might have even been right before the draft. Just to put in perspective how long ago it was. But we asked him about the possibility of Ameer Abdullah, because Corey was pretty high on Ameer Abdullah and attaching his fantasy season to Ameer Abdullah because he was all in. And Dave Burkett, the beat writer, said, if you're going to attach your fantasy hopes to a big season from Ameer Abdullah, I think you're barking up the wrong tree. He threw cold water all over it, and he wasn't suggesting that Abdullah wasn't a good player, but he was suggesting that it's the same old Lions, as far as we know them, in the Matt Stafford era. And that's that they're going to throw a lot. And there isn't going to be a lot of carries for running backs, and certainly not enough to sustain your fantasy team. Can I see him being in the end of the RB2 discussion? Of course. I think 24 is reasonable. And in this draft that I'm looking at last night, there were 23 running backs taken. He hadn't been taken yet, so maybe he went right after that. So I say all that to put it in perspective. It's not necessarily that we're down on Ameer Abdullah. I'm just down on the running game in general, especially when the left tackle is out for the year.
I just can't see any upside here where else he's going to break out. So running back is tough, because when you get to 23, 24, they're all, everybody really after round, after the first 8-10 guys has major warts. You know, there's the reason to take him or not take him on every player here. I mean, the guys going around Abdullah, you know, you got C.J. Anderson. We know what a mess it is in Denver. You know, Tevin Coleman, you got to worry about Freeman. McFadden may be in there. He could only be valued for six games. Gillisley, well, it's a mess in New England. Good luck. Blount has already been chastised by his own coach. You know, Perrine doesn't have a starting job to at least start the season. Jaquez Rogers, same thing. Could lose it after three games. Darren Sproles, really a pass catcher. You can go on and on with every running back and why you don't want them. So it's really hunting and picking and choosing the guy you do want for whatever reason you want. Do you want the goal line guy to get the touchdowns? Do you want the guys that catch balls out of the back? At least you're going to get some PPR points each game. I get it. It's a pain in the neck to figure out which guy fits your team the best. Do you want the safest guy, the guy with the most upside? You know, and Abdullah's right there with all these guys, because you got to worry about Riddick. You know, who's going to be the goal line guy? Are they going to, anyone going to have any value anyway? Or is this going to be a team that's going to have to throw the ball once again to win? And I sort of lean that direction.
You got me depressed because you just rattled off like – you just rattled off a bunch of names, and I have two of those guys on the same team. You and I were in a draft a couple of weeks ago. I took Zeke Elliott in the first round, and I took LeGarrette Blount later in the draft. The one guy, I can't tell if his coach hates him or not, and the other guy's out for six games. So you really just nailed me on that.
Is anybody truly happy with their running back core? I mean, really? I have a great running back core. I'm thrilled. Some guys, I'm sure they are. You should be running back first couple of rounds, but most of us are in the same boat. We have one good running back, and after that, just a whole bunch of slop.
How about this, though? In my fishbowl reference earlier, Mel Ward, Marie Hunt, Christian McCaffrey. That's pretty solid.
I heard Hunt and McCaffrey. I assume there was a running back before.
Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, that's a nice group. I don't mind it. But even that, I mean, it's Hunt now. We love now Hunt. Well, I feel bad for saying we love Hunt because where it got hurt. But, hey, that's the nature of the game. But even McCaffrey, yeah. I'm assuming it's PPR league, in which case I have McCaffrey as a top 10 running back. But he's a guy I still believe. I think he's going to be good this year, this is how scary I think this guy can be. I think he's going to be good this year. But you give him a year or two in this offense where Carolina really learns to use his skills and put him in the plays that – yeah, that's best for him and the team to succeed. I think he's going to be a scary running back.
McCaffrey's an amazing player. I loved him coming out of college. He's a guy that I really like. I hope everything he's going to be from in year one. He's a tremendous weapon. If they want him to, we'll see how they come in the mix there. Similar to Tyreek Hill, I don't think he's going to start the season doing it, but when push comes to shove, George, and your kick team or your punt team, you're likely to throw a guy out there that's an accomplished playmaker, right?
I mean, listen, I want to win football games. I understand Tyreek Hill is your number one wide receiver. I understand that punt returns, kick returns are dangerous. But you're hurting your team here, aren't you? I mean, that's what he does best. He was a human highlight reel last year. Scored multiple touchdowns. And he's a player when he's back there receiving those kicks, receiving those punts, you have to game plan against, kick away from him, which is generally field position. You'll get extra yards now because rather than kicking a 50-yard punt, they're kicking a 40-yard punt to make sure it's angled towards the outside. So I think it's a little, dangerous to do this for a team that's not the Patriots. That's not the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Green Bay Packers, a team that has lots of offense and is not going to have an issue here with scoring points by putting Tyreek Hill back there. So I think it's a mistake here. As far as Tyreek Hill as wide receivers, I'm not thrilled about this either. I think he's overvalued. I'm very wary about wide receivers who go from being the number two to the number one. Because now defenses are paying attention to you. You're a major part of that game plan. They're going to try and stop you. That means there'll be a safety over the top. That means you're going up against number one cornerbacks. They're trying to stop you. And I'm not sure Tyreek Hill can make that adjustment. In PPR leagues, I have a 32. I have him as a wide receiver three, but he's generally being drafted as a low-end wide receiver two. And I understand. The low-end wide receiver, too, there are a lot of question marks. DeAndre Hopkins and all the issues they have in Houston with the quarterback. I think Tom Savage will be better than Brock Osweiler as far as getting Hopkins the ball, but far from great. Sammy Watkins takes a hit going to Jared Goff with the Rams. Allen Robinson with that mess that is going on in Jacksonville. Chad Henne is just not going to be good for any of the Jaguar wide receivers. Jarvis Landry, I think, takes a hit here. I think Cutler is probably good fantasy-wise as Ryan Tannehill, but I also think Cutler's going to throw the ball deeper into the secondary. I think Devontae Parker, for the value you get for where he's going, is a better value than where Jarvis Landry's going. Because I don't think Jarvis Landry's going to get 90-plus catches this year. I think you may look at the 70 range. And since he's not really a big touchdown guy, that hurts his value a little bit. Brandon Marshall's a guy I'm interested in. Pierre Garçon, Sneed, Martavis Bryant, Crowder. Guys like this, so you can get a couple of rounds later, guys I'd rather have here. I think they have better value. Wide receivers deep at the bottom line here. You can wait if you don't feel comfortable with somebody and wait a round or two and feel better. I don't feel too many reasons to take a chance at wide receiver. Running back's a disaster. Like I said, most of us are happy with that first guy. After that, we have a whole bunch of slop. We'll be back after this to talk more about Julian Edelman, Spencer Ware, and who else might be hurt on your fantasy team. Yeah.
back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Mike Luden, George Kurtz. Thanks for joining us this morning. We do have a poll up on Twitter, which you go find at FNTSY Radio. Which of the following Patriots is the most reliable fantasy option? Now, we didn't make it easy for you. There's no Tom Brady there. There's no Rob Gronkowski there. There's no Brandon Cooks there because we all expect them to be very valuable, although they come with their own risks, George, outside of Brady. But we did ask James White, Chris Hogan, Mike Gillisley, Danny Amendola. Right now, Chris Hogan, leader in the clubhouse, he's got a pretty significant lead on Mike Gillisley.
That's not a surprise that they scored the two touchdowns last night, right?
Yeah.
Sort of recency bias.
Recency bias, the old buzzword that you're going to hear in every fantasy discussion, but it is true in this instance.
Yeah, I should name my fantasy team tonight recency bias.
Well, it would be apt because a lot of people deal with it. Yeah, just do recency bias and take Hogan first and Hunt second, and who else? What other players have gone down that we can replace immediately?
There are always plays go up and down. I mean, the rankings that you mentioned we do on Fantasy Pros, and I do them, I change daily. Yeah, there's always, for whatever reason, LeGarrette Blount went down because he was nailed by Peterson for not playing well. And then all of a sudden, Wendell Smallwood, they want him to take on a bigger role there. Maybe Darren Sproles, the running back, he goes up there in PPR leagues because he's got to flip the ball out more to him. Yeah, so it's always fun like that, right? When after the trade, Jordan Matthews goes to Buffalo, you may have dropped him a little bit. Then he gets hurt, so you drop a little bit more. Now he expects to play there. They don't have much else going on there. Maybe it's Zay Jones you want in Buffalo. Right, Anquan Boldin retires out of nowhere. And it's a lot of teams. I shouldn't say it's fun, with the rankings, but it's like, every day it's like, okay, I think I can move this guy back up here. I can move him back down. It's all personally what you believe is going to happen. Maybe Buffalo, you don't believe in Tyrod Taylor. Lord knows Buffalo doesn't seem to believe in him.
Mm-hmm. I agree. The Anquan Boldin thing, you just keep bringing up players that are causing me consternation, and Anquan Boldin is another one. So as excited as I am about Kareem Hunt's prospects in that league, I thought I stole a draft pick late with Anquan Boldin. I guess I shouldn't really be upset about it because I drafted him in like the 20th round of that draft. So it was just a flyer. But for like a two-week span there, I thought I had the best flyer in the whole draft, and now he's retired, which I appreciate his reasons why. And he can say it's not related to the Sammy Watkins thing, but I'm sure that didn't help.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to buy that it's not related to the Sammy Watkins thing. I think it's related to what he thought the team was going to be. I don't think he thought they were going to be a Super Bowl contender, but I think he thought they'd be at least a playoff contender. And now he sees what they've done, and I think he realizes, they're not even playing for this year.
He's right.
What am I, 34, whatever age he is? Do I really want to put my body through this for a team that's just going through the motions? I sort of get that.
He's 36, by the way. He'll be 37 in a month, in about 6 weeks. So, in any event, he had a really long, distinguished career. You put him in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask this because I was thinking the same thing. Is he a Hall of Famer? I go back to this when I think of Hall of Fame. If I have to think about it, then I generally lean no. I'm a Hall of Fame snob. I really think it's only for the best of the best. If I was running these Hall of Fames, and pretty much all sports, by the way, I'd be taking guys out more than putting guys in. I think a lot of people need to be removed.
It'd be a very popular move with the former players. You'd be a great commissioner. Hey,
right.
My first move is acting commissioner. I'm going to remove about 25% or to 50%.
Terrell Davis, you're out of here, buddy.
Yeah.
Next.
Extremely popular with the crowd, in any event.
Hey, you think they hate Goodell? Wait till they get a hold of me.
Yeah, right. Well, he's around for a while, by the way. He's signing an extension.
Five more years.
Yeah. I'm sure the players love that. In any event.
Anquan Boldin, to answer your question.
Anquan Boldin will have huge numbers, and people are going to hear that and maybe think George is nuts. But you have to understand that this context is changing for the wide receivers. They're all compiling huge stats now. And because Boldin is getting to the point where there's going to be a logjam when he's up in 5 years, there's going to be plenty of guys with 10,000 yards receiving and multiple thousand yard receiving. I mean, think how long it took guys like Chris Carter and Art Monk to get in the Hall of Fame. They had to wait a long time. Art Monk was retired with the most receiving yards of all time. when he retired, and it took him a while to get in. So it's not crazy to think that he wouldn't be in. I think he's real close. I'd probably give him the nod over some other guys who I've seen go in recently. But in any event, there will be a lot of wide receivers that will be waiting. So let me turn the page back to fantasy, because we've had a lot of questions on Twitter this morning. Our friend Steve G said, my PPR no flex 12 team keeping Devonta Freeman, David Johnson, Michael Thomas. Are you guys worried about Freeman? If so, should I draft Elliott at 10 or wide receiver? You said you're not big on him because he's got six games and he's got a rough playoff schedule. I think I tend to agree with you, so I would go wide receiver there.
Yeah, so would I. I asked Steve a follow-up question on that to find out what receivers would be available, and they were top receivers available when his pick comes up, so I'm easily going wide receiver there. Freeman, am I worried about Freeman? I mean, yes and no. Running back concussion, not a good thing, because I'll say it again, they lead with their heads. You know, had so many head collisions throughout the year. Hard for me to believe he's not going to suffer another one. But that being said, he's still in my first round. I'm not passing up on him. I'm worried about Ajayi, too, but he's still a second-round pick. I've downgraded him some. I've downgraded Ajayi more than Freeman. I think Miami may be more of a mess than Atlanta is. So that's more of a reason why there. So Freeman,
you
I'm
don't
fine.
Say. What's happened in Miami?
Yeah, I realized when I said that. Yeah, shocking, huh? Miami, outside of Baltimore, suffering a lot of injuries down there. Although I honestly think the Cutler thing is that's going to work out fine. You know, I don't think Cutler is a worse quarterback than Tannehill. I still don't think Tannehill was all that good to begin with. So what were you expecting to lose? You got the best quarterback on the market that was available. And
by
Cutler,
the way, fantasy-wise, do you think Cutler's an upgrade?
No. I mean, I haven't ranked the same, I bet the same place. I mean, I technically, yes. But I don't have him. See, the way I do my rankings, Mike, there are 17 quarterbacks that I would have taken in a quarterback one league that I'm comfortable with. And Cutler and Tannehill were not a part of that. You know, Cutler just misses that cut. You know, he's with the Dalton, Wentz, Palmer of the worlds. Simeon I have in there, too. So I don't mind him in a quarterback, too. Reflex starting for me. I think he'll be just fine. You know, the thing about Cutler, if they can protect him, he'll throw the ball to the second. He'll take his deep shots, and he'll hit them for those. So Miami has a good receiving core. Devontae Parker is a guy I like a lot this year. Stills is underrated. And Landry, even though I don't love Landry, he's good at running those underneath routes. You throw in Julius Thomas there, who's a decent tight end. Ajayi can run the ball. The offense should be able to do some damage if the offensive line can hold up.
That's an if, George.
It is. It's the problem.
Yeah, but we shall see how that plays out. Obviously, there's a lot. There's thoughts that Devontae Parker has had a good camp. He's played well in preseason games. So where does he go? I really do think that the Tannehill for Cutler swap doesn't impact much. In fact, I honestly think there is a little bit more upside with Cutler than there was with Tannehill.
So do I.
I think we knew what we're getting out of Ryan Tannehill. I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I think he's a starter in the NFL. I'm just not all that impressed. The Dolphins are in a weird spot with Tannehill because his deal is up, and they got to – well, it's technically not up, but they can get out of his deal on the cheap after this season. So they got to pay him a huge cap hit this year, which is, I think, around $18 million. But next year, the cap hit goes down to about $5 million. And if they don't have – the tough part now is that he's got this ACL injury that they'll be trying to evaluate him and whether or not he's their quarterback of the future. And do you bring him back – on maybe the $5 million cap hit to play next year and audition for you next year and then get out of the deal after that. It's very difficult with a lot of high-quality quarterbacks in the draft anyway.
What do they do? What do they do in Miami? Let's say – I'm not saying Cutler has a Pro Bowl season, but let's say he has a solid season. You know, maybe they make the playoffs again. Mm-hmm. What do you do? Are you starting to realize, why are we going to pay Tannehill all this money? We got Cutler off the scrap heap, and he's just as good. Now, I'm not saying they re-sign Cutler, but it makes you wonder. They think, you know – this is ridiculous. Tannehill's just not that good. Not going to pay this money.
So there's a big if here in that if Jay Cutler can get along with everybody in the locker room. So that's the first thing I'll say. And I think that'll be part of it. But with Adam Gase there, maybe creating a bridge between him and the struggles that Cutler's had in other locker rooms, I think it's maybe a positive. But if Cutler plays well, they get to a playoff spot. I think they re-sign Jay Cutler on a two-year deal. Say, thanks, Ryan Tannehill. We're moving on. Tannehill's on the open market, and then they can draft a developmental quarterback.
That's
sometime
exactly
in the
what
next
I was leaning
years.
Towards, Mike. I think that's an interesting thing you just brought up. I'm leaning on that way as well. If
that's what
Cutler
I would
plays
do.
Well, And if, like I said, if it, the locker room doesn't turn against them because Lord knows he has his issues there. Right now it's all roses, right? Everyone's, it's all roses and dandelions. Everyone's all happy with them. They're all behind him. Let's see what happens when things get tough.
Yeah, how old is Jay Cutler? 34, I believe, is his age. I think that's, he's 34 years old. He'll be 35 next offseason. So he is older, but, heck, that's younger than Eli, Ben, Brady, Aaron Rodgers around that age. There's a lot of guys that are, you know, getting older and are still producing at a pretty high level. It is weird that he was ready to retire, but I think he just didn't find his deal. By the way, I'm wrong. Aaron Rodgers is a few months younger than Jay Cutler. But in
He'll
any
be 34 in December.
Yeah, so they're, you know, virtually the same age, born in the same year. I'm
didn't
just
realize Rodgers is that old.
Yeah, people are thrown off because he didn't play for the first few years. But he and Alex Smith are basically the same age, and he's not that much younger than Ben Roethlisberger and Eli Manning. You know, just a, you know, they're very close in age. But in any event, Jay Cutler, not that old. He doesn't need to retire necessarily, even though he was just retired a month ago. Anyway. I do have a bunch of Twitter questions to get to, which I will do after the break, but I'll ask one right now. Guy, Mr. Kraft, who's a loyal listener, and I appreciate it. He says that you sound down on the New England wide receivers. Do you think Hogan gets a bump up to wide receiver 4?
I think that's fair. Top 48?
Yeah.
I think that's fair. I don't mind that. I'm down because I just think I don't like playing the Bill Belichick guessing game. I don't want to be that frustrated that week, but as a wide receiver 4, that's pretty much a bye week guy, a flex week guy. I'm okay with that.
Good stuff. With more Twitter questions after the break. It's Mike and George on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening to the Roto Experts. Appreciate all your questions, by the way. There's been tons flying in on Twitter. Trying to get to as many as we can. Additionally, I did want to go back to one thing, George, on the Lions. Because we talked a bit about Amir Abdullah and people maybe looking at Amir Abdullah as an option. I do think he's a good depth running back, but I wouldn't have him in my top 2 running backs. I think if he's my 3rd, I feel pretty good about that because there'll be a lot of touches for him this year. But let me just explain what George and I were talking about in context of the Lions offense. Last year, 31st in rushing attempts in the league, 30th in rushing yardage. This is as a team. They had a decent amount of rushing touchdowns, and their yards per attempt were, no, that wasn't even that good. No, they had 9 rushing touchdowns. That's 26th in the league. Their yards per attempt rushing the ball, 3.7 yards per. That's 27th in the league. This is with Taylor Decker, their good starting left tackle, who's now out for probably the entire season. Now, they did a really good job, George. They had terrible field position. They started at their own 25-yard line. That's 30th in the league. But they did a really good job of holding on to the ball. So their average drive time was 3 minutes and 5 seconds. That's first in the league. Their average number of plays per drive is 6.5. That's first in the league. And their average number of yards per drive is 34.8. That was 5th in the league. Now, that's a lot of stats I threw out there. You put it all together, what does it mean? They did a really good job of hanging on to the ball and extending drives for as long as they could, and they didn't do it by running the ball.
Yeah, like I said, I'm going to have a tough time trusting the Detroit Lions' rushing offense. I just don't think it's there. I said, I don't mind him as a running back 3. I have a draft tonight, and I'm playing with the Detroit Lions fan, so I won't have to worry about it. Because odds are he'll take Abdul a little earlier than he should. Although I have to admit, generally he's pretty good at not doing that. But he likes his Detroit Lions, so once again, I was just trying to egg these guys up, because I don't want him. So yeah, I'll be making sure to mention his name a time or two, so he'll grab him, and I don't have to worry about him. I've done, I think, 8 drafts already, and I don't have Abdullah or Riddick, for that matter, in any of these leagues. So even though I may have them ranked subconsciously, I'm always finding a reason to stay away from these guys. I just don't believe.
And for those of you doing zero RB strategy, which is avoiding running backs for a determined number of rounds, if he's your number one running back, you're going to swallow a lot of risk there just because of the manner in which
I'm not hearing too much zero running back strategy this year.
I see it. But you're right.
I've seen it, but not as much.
There's not as people married to zero RB strategy as they are in the past. I have seen a few guys, the usual suspects, say that this is the reason why you have to do it. And there is a low success rate of guys that are preseason ranked, a fairly low success rate of guys that are preseason ranked RB1 and staying that way. I think over the last five seasons is something in the range of 45%. So you take your top 12 ranked running backs in the preseason and see what they are at the end of the season. It's only about a 45% hit rate or so. So there is some risk there. But you really want those bell cow backs, which is why when you have the first and second pick in the draft, you're going to feel really good about it. I saw one of our fellow experts complaining actually online a little earlier about people that have the first and second picks in the draft and go either David Johnson or Le'Veon Bell, and then wide receiver are set up so well. And it's a reason to institute third round reversal, which means the third round goes back to the bottom of the draft as opposed to swinging around to the top of the draft. Do you subscribe to that opinion that we should institute third round reversal to avoid people of being too well set up with David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell?
I don't think I've ever played in a league that did the third round reversal. I could be wrong on that, of course. I do a lot of drafts, but I can't remember offhand any league that actually did that. But I like it, and I support it. I think that is the way to go. It's far from mainstream now. I know I've tried to introduce it in both of my home leagues, one on the commissioner in and the other one I'm not. And it's a lot of the same guys. It's just they don't get it. It's not an industry league, obviously, and they just don't understand the theory behind it. And a lot of people, just like the society in general, no one likes change. And it's a change that, you know, they wouldn't be quite as used to it. So, no, it's been voted down each time. And actually, it hasn't even come close. I don't think guys understand the math behind it. But to answer your question, Mike, I like it. But as far as I know, I've never played in it.
That was Scott Pianowski, who I believe is with Yahoo. He was talking about it online, and Matt Modica supported him as well. So just a couple of industry names there to lend some credibility to it. So back to Twitter. Friend of mine, whom I know personally, Sean Lochran, asks, do you take a QB in rounds 1, 2, or 3 in a league with these QB-friendly rules? It's a 10-teamer, 1-point PPR, 2 wide receivers, 1 flex. I think I know your answer, George, and it is?
No!
Yes, no, sir. You do not have to take a QB that early. The top 3 quarterbacks going off the board in every draft this year are Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and Drew Brees. I've seen that in just about every draft I'm in. Do you concur?
Yes. Yes, Matt Ryan is sort of the next one, but he's not in that class.
Yes, so those are the 3. If you feel strongly about those guys, I understand that, but you should wait a little bit towards it. Now, I will state that I have Drew Brees twice in leagues, but one was a super flex league where quarterbacks go off the board fairly early. The second one was an experts league where Drew Brees fell to the 6th round. So most experts will tell you to wait. We will tell you to wait because the depth, especially in a 10-team league, is so great that you could wait. I'm not even joking. Unless people start really rapidly picking up their second quarterback, you can wait till double-digit rounds in a league like this easily, where you can see guys like Derek Carr and the like, Carson Wentz, those types of players. I was doing some research the other night, George. Last year, the 7th quarterback and the 15th quarterback were separated by 20 points at year's end.
Yeah, it's the reason we tell you over and over to wait. Now, like you, Mike, I don't have Aaron Rodgers. I have Aaron Rodgers in one league, but that's a super flex league. I don't have Drew Brees and Tom Brady in any leagues. Now, in your situation, you've said you got Drew Brees around 6. That is a situation where I could end up with one of those guys. Yes, if everyone's following the same philosophy and around, I think 6 is about, maybe even around 5 is about when I would look. If that happened to me, then I might do the same thing. I might take that top quarterback. But other than that, I'm going to wait. I'll take the Mariota, Cousins, and Winstons of the world in round 10 with no issues.
Yeah, for me, that Breeze pick, there were a bunch of running backs and wide receivers there that I could have taken and I kind of liked, but none of them compared to the value I was going to get for Breeze. So that's why I did that. So, Sean, do not take a quarterback that early. I'll tell you to wait in a 10-teamer, especially because there'll be plenty of quality quarterbacks around. You can get that 7th quarterback off the board, and it'll be just as valuable. I'd rather stack up between wide receivers and running backs early. You can wait. So to give you a sense, right now it's Rodgers, Brady, Breeze, Matt Ryan, Russell Wilson are those next quarterbacks, Cousins, Luck, Mariota, Jameis Winston, Cam Newton, Derek Carr, Ben Roethlisberger. That's, according to Fantasy Pros, that's the top 12. So I can just tell you, you can wait conceivably till double-digit rounds and get somebody like Newton or Carr or Roethlisberger. The only caveat I'll give you is if quarterbacks fly off the board in your league and you're seeing 9 or 10 guys drafted in the first 3 or 4 rounds, maybe you want to take one early. But I've just said, in the first 3 or 4 rounds, I don't think it'll happen like that. You can wait. Just wait on it. Next one. I'm sorry. He had it. It was a two-part question, George, so I messed this up. But let me qualify it. 7-point passing touchdowns in this league with 5-point bonuses for 300, 400, 500-yard games and bonuses for long touchdowns. So do you still take him in the first 3 rounds? I think I'd still wait.
I'm probably still waiting. I don't care about the 300, 400, 500. I mean, come on, 400 happens rarely. 500, no, almost never happens. So that's meaningless. The long touchdowns, I'd probably want to hear that defined. I mean, so some people, a long touchdown is 20 yards plus, you know, or is it 50 yards plus? If it's 20 yards plus, then I need to know what those bonuses are. That could make a difference, certainly. It certainly does move quarterbacks up a little bit for me, where now maybe I am not waiting until round 10. Maybe I'm waiting until round 8 to make sure I get I'm probably still not going to end up with Rodgers, Brady, Breeze. But I want to make sure that I do get one of the guys I mentioned earlier, a top quarterback. And now instead of round 5 being a steal, maybe round 4 is a steal if Rodgers, Brady, or Breeze slip. It probably moves everything up a round or two for me, but still not going overboard here. Because although the difference between round, you said, well, what, quarterback 7 and round 15 was 20, it'll still be a close difference, a little bit further than 20, maybe 40 points. Still not enough for me to jump off the quarterback board, but it does make it a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, so I think what I'll say to wrap this up, since I screwed up the question initially, with those 7-point passing touchdowns and those 5-point bonuses, in the 10-team league, I think you'll see a bunch of guys fly off the board in those first 3 rounds. But I'm telling
you, why not just make it a 2-quarterback league if you're going to do this? Go to super flex if you're trying to make quarterbacks more important.
Yeah, so to George's point, you can play in a strict 2-QB league. You can play in a super flex league where that flex can be a quarterback. So that would actually make the position more important in a kind of a fun way. But, you know, you want to stack a bunch of points on the quarterbacks, I get it. That's a little bit more old school, and I can appreciate.
They're
here's
trying
what
to make
I
the
say.
Quarterback more important, I get it. But just go with 2 quarterbacks. So you start 2, more strategy. It makes more sense than giving, you know, now a quarterback's going to get 30 points a week.
Yeah. There you have it. I think you can still wait in those first 3 rounds. I bet you a bunch of guys will fly off the board in that league, but you know, we just detailed a bunch of guys that you'll be fine with. You know, say 8 quarterbacks go off the board in those first 3 rounds. Then you got Jameis, Cam Newton, Derek Carr, Ben Roethlisberger, Dak Prescott, Phillip Rivers, Matthew Stafford. We feel comfortable with all those guys. You keep going to Eli and some others if you wanted to really press the issue. But, look, we can't say it enough that we would wait on quarterbacks. The only thing I can't predict for Sean is how many quarterbacks will fly off the board in those first 3 rounds. And if it's getting dicey and you feel 10 guys have gone in those first 2.5 rounds, then maybe you do bite the bullet and take somebody at the end of the 3rd. But that is something we can't predict. I would just say in general that we tell everybody to wait. So there you go. There's another question on Twitter that we'll ask when we come back as we're closing out the hour on the Roto Experts from another loyal listener, Steve G. So thanks for listening on to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we'll be back to answer some more Twitter questions after this. Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, it's Mike and George. Hopefully you've been listening to us on the app, Fantasy Sports Radio app, which you can download on Google Play or in the iTunes Store. We're on iHeartRadio. We are on TuneIn and various terrestrial radio stations around the country. So thank you for tuning in. We appreciate all the questions that have come in. So, George, one question related to a discussion that was happening on Twitter is another good one, because I want to get a sense of what your rankings are for these wide receivers. Let's talk about in PPR leagues, a point per reception league. And many of you out there playing standard leagues, and we understand that. So this could inflate certain players based on the format in which you play. But Brandon Cooks, Amari Cooper, Dez Bryant, Demaryius Thomas. How do you have those guys ranked?
All right, so that was Brandon Cooks, Cooper, Dez, and
Demaryius. Demaryius.
Okay. All right, now I am happier with, now that Trevor Siemian's been named quarterback, I have moved Thomas up, but he's still last out of that group there. I'm going to go Cooks first, Dez second, Cooper third, Demaryius Thomas fourth. Cooks, he was ahead of Dez anyway, so it's not like I moved him ahead of Dez because of the Edelman injury. I have not. If Elliott wasn't suspended, you know, maybe I'd feel differently about this, but the team's going to be playing Dez. He's going to get more double coverage here, especially in the front until Elliott comes back. Plus, Dallas, once again, I'll say it again, they play one of the tougher schedules as far as defenses are concerned. A lot of top cornerbacks that Dez is going to see this year. That's why I have him at number two. Cooper, I'm not sure he's the number one wide receiver on his team. You know, as long as Carr keeps looking for Michael Crabtree in the red zone, I mean, that's hard to say he's the out-and-out number one, even though I think he's more talented than Crabtree. He might catch more passes, but fantasy points-wise, I think it may be closer to even than we would prefer. But I still have him at third, though, over Demaryius Thomas. Look at
our
that. Pete Considori.
That's unbelievable. So our
Jacksonville is Pete, saved!
At Pete Considori just came in with a note as George was finishing that sentence that Blake Bortles is named the starter in Jacksonville. That is pretty incredible to me. I don't know if there's any perspective or any context.
So with Chad Hennington, it was just smoke. Because he didn't play. Bortles didn't play very well. I think in the fourth quarter last night, he did some damage against what? Mike Blewett made a joke.
Really? Blake Bortles didn't play well. That's something new. Here's what I'll say. I've been surviving for the last 2 years on Blake Bortles in fantasy football because he is he's the fantasy magician. He's a guy that doesn't play the position very well, but racks up stats because they're getting blown out all the time.
Yeah, he has definitely, fantasy-wise, he's been fine. He's been a top-10 fantasy quarterback. That's not going to happen this year, folks, though. They're going to run the ball an awful lot. I think this is the right move for Jacksonville. I mean, and it's sad because Bortles sucks, but it's the right move. Check down Chad was going to have everybody and their mother playing at the line of scrimmage. At least Bortles will throw the ball deep into the secondary. Granted, not always to his own teammates, but at least he'll try. But let's face it, bottom line is Jacksonville doesn't have a quarterback.
So the reason that so many of us have liked Leonard Fournette is because they made a very specific decision in Jacksonville to draft Leonard Fournette and then Cam Robinson with the second pick, who is now going to take over at left tackle, it seems, because Brandon Albert, the veteran that they traded for, retired. He tried to unretire, but he's still retired. As of now, and he's not going to play for the Jaguars. They don't want him around because he effectively quit and then said, I don't really want to quit. I think they knew that his heart wasn't in it, so why pay the guy millions of dollars if he's going to mail it in for the next 4 months? So, according to Adam Schefter, Doug Marrone has named Blake Bortles starting QB for the Jaguars' regular season opener against Houston on September 10th. So that's how we're going to close out the show. They got a good wide receiving core, George. Those guys won't see as many balls as they saw last year, that's for sure.
Oh, that's it. It's good news for them, though. It's good news all around the fantasy and the receivers, but I don't know if it's going to translate to many more winnings.
All right, keep listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're the Roto Experts, and we're out. Have a good day, everybody.